Thank you. morning and welcome to a service of good news. Merry Christmas indeed. We look forward to hearing the good news from the mouths of the children before us. And so let us begin this good news worship service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We pray, gracious Lord God, we live in a sinful world that brings with it many fears. We fear for our homes, our health, and our country. Yet in your great wisdom, you see the daily struggles we encounter and assure us that all things are under your divine control. Almighty God, you made your Son shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that as we have known on earth the wonder of that light, we may also behold him in all his glory in the life to come, where there will be no more fear. Through your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with our call of worship from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to see him in his temple.
Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord.
Thank you. All of us know what it is like to be afraid. As children, our fears can be over little things, like monsters under the bed, the dark, or dentists. When we get older, our fears become more complex, like rejection, job loss, or dentists.
Did you know that Gustav Eiffel, designer of the Eiffel Tower, was afraid of heights? And not to be outdone, Thomas Edison, the man who invented the light bulb, was afraid of the dark. Lists have been made of what people are most afraid of. Number one on the list is fear of speaking in front of a group of people. Number two is fear of heights. Number three is fear of going to the dentist. And number four is fear of snakes. Number five is the fear of flying. And six is fear of spiders and insects. Number seven is a fear of tight spaces. This is called claustrophobia. Number eight is the fear of mice. Number nine is a fear of dogs. And number 10 is the fear of thunder and lightning.
Fears are called phobias. Arithmophobia is the fear of numbers, and scolionophobia is the fear of school. Are any phobias on your list? Certainly. There are others that could be added, like the fear of being lost from your parents, fear of dying, fear of loneliness, or fear of becoming ill.
Sometimes we learn to get over our fears. Sometimes we learn to live with them. Some of our fears are completely irrational. Others are well-founded. But we all have fear. It is a universal experience of the human race.
But it wasn't always so. When God created the world, there was no fear. Creation, the human race, and God lived together in perfect harmony. Moses wrote about this at the end of the first chapter of Genesis.
In God's perfect creation, there was no reason for fear. It wasn't until the first sin that fear entered the world. We see it first expressed in the words and actions of Adam and Eve.
Opposite of what they should have done. Instead of running from God, they should have been running to Him. Through their sin destroyed God's good creation, it did not destroy the goodness of God Himself. We see this in the way God responded to their sin with the promise to send a Savior. God was not going to let sin, guilt, and fear separate Him from His children, from us. His Son would come to destroy the barrier of sin between us, inviting us back to a relationship with God that is founded not on fear, but on His unconditional love.
Did you know that the words fear not appear nearly 150 times in the Bible? Just in the Christmas story, they are spoken 5 times. Many of the great Bible heroes we enjoy reading about face fears in their lives. Jacob was afraid of his brother Esau. Elijah ran in fear for his life from wicked Queen Jezebel, and Gideon was afraid to lead an army. In the New Testament, we see a boatload of disciples who were quite afraid when caught in a storm.
Though they had God's sure promise, his people still had to face a world of sin and all the fears that went with it. In the years that followed Adam and Eve's sin, the human race was witness to the world's first murder, a devastating flood, the scattering of races at the Tower of Babel, and countless other fearful events. At times, it would have been easy for God's people to doubt his control over the world or his ability to keep his promise.
But God continued to speak to the fear of his people. He selected Abraham as the beginning of the family line from which the Savior would be born. And when Abraham doubted that he would even be able to have a child, God came to him and said, God kept that promise, and from Abraham's line came the nation of Israel. At one point in time, the Israelites were carried from their homeland into captivity in Babylon. As they wondered about their future in a strange land, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah to remind them of his plans for them.
Ultimate future he had in store for the Israelites, for all people. We find this reminder in these familiar words.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.
The Israelites had no reason to fear or doubt, even when walking uncertain steps in life, because God's path was always leading to the Savior, to salvation. His word and his promises give his people the faith to trust in him and to face the challenges of life with songs of joy, like we find in the book of Isaiah.
Cry aloud, inhabitants of Zion, ring out your joy, for the Great One in the midst of you is the Holy One of Israel.
Sure.
When the time came for God to fulfill his promise, he sent angels to announce his plan to those who would play a role. Even though his message was long-awaited news, it was received at first with fear. When an angel appeared to Zechariah to announce he would have a son, he was gripped with fear and doubt. But the angel spoke these words to him.
"Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord."
God chose Mary to be the mother of the Savior. When the angel Gabriel announced this news to her, she was legitimately afraid of how she, an unmarried woman, could have such a child. Again, the angel spoke to her fear.
"Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
When Joseph, her fiancé, learned of Mary's pregnancy, he faced fears of his own. He now had grounds to doubt the fidelity of the woman he loved, as well as reasons to fear his own reputation. As he was considering the possibility of a quiet divorce, God sent an angelic vision to reassure him.
The events leading up to Jesus' birth provided new fears. A government edict forced Mary and Joseph to travel at the height of her pregnancy. When they arrived at Bethlehem, there was no suitable place for them to stay, much less deliver a baby. Far from home, sheltering in a barn, and laying the Christ child in a feeding trough, Mary and Joseph could not have imagined a less peaceful night.
On this silent, holy night, heavenly peace flowed not from a picture-perfect plan, but a perfectly kept promise. The Christ child born in the world is our heavenly peace, our redeeming grace, and the remedy of our ultimate fear.
To Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line.
There is an old saying that no news is good news. It assumes that news is more likely to be bad than good, so it's better not to receive any. Some people, understandably, are afraid to receive any news, expecting of the worst, but our hearts long for the good, for good news.
On the night of Jesus' birth, the first to hear the news was a group of shepherds outside of Bethlehem. At first, they received the news with fear. Again, we find familiar words of comfort spoken to them by the angel.
The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
Hearts had been longing, which all mankind had been waiting. The shepherds' fear turned into joy as they saw out this good news.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they
this same joy is ours, ours to receive and ours to share. Christ has come, and all is well.
Thank you.
From Abraham to Mary and to us, God has repeated these words. Do not be afraid. What is it about these words that gives them power over our deepest fears? The Apostle John writes about it in his first letter.
God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear.
At the root of God's word is a defining quality, His perfect love for us. We remember this every time we hear these familiar words.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
God's perfect love is unshakable and has the power to drive out all our fears. The Savior's birth is proof of that love. Proof that God keeps every promise. When we struggle with fear and guilt over our sin, God speaks to us from John's first letter.
See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
You feel lost and alone.
Fearful of the uncertainties of life, Jesus reassures us with these words.
Face the future, Jesus reminds us of the future he has prepared for us.
Whatever fears we face, God's love is greater than them all and gives us courage to trust Him joyfully.
and that door could clearly be seen in the comforting words spoken by the angel on the great morning we call Easter.
Coming when all our fears will be gone, because we too shall rise just as Jesus promised.
Amen to that. We pray. Heavenly Father, your mercies remain new each and every day, including today. We thank you for recording down for all time the good news rooted in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we have full and free forgiveness, and with that, a peace that shall not end, with the hope of eternal life. And so, Lord, continue to send your Holy Spirit into our hearts using your good news to bring us to you and to keep you in you all our days. We thank you for the good news shared through the mouth of the children today. We ask that it would ring true in our hearts, not just today, but every day, and that we remain centered on your mercies, which remain fresh and new for us each and every day. May we take your good news and share it with others, that it may drive out all the doubts and fears that we struggle with day to day. Your good news conquers all. And so we commend ourselves to your care in Jesus' name. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom,
as you go on your way today and continue to celebrate the message of Christmas throughout your life, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas. Jesus is definitely the reason for the season, and he's also the reason that we no longer need to be afraid. I want to welcome you all, obviously, on this beautiful Sunday morning here to St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School. We are so blessed to have you all here with us. A couple of announcements before we depart and have our refreshments. First and foremost, why don't we give the students a round of applause. A lot of time and effort goes into putting this all together. I also want to thank Mrs. Rowe and Mrs. Boshek. Let's give them a round of applause. Today, after we sing Joy to the World, we are going to have refreshments in the gymnasium. But before the students go and eat all the food, we want you to come to the gym and pick up your child from somewhere in the gym that we will have the grades according to their grades, right? And then you can take them to go and get refreshments from there. So that's to prevent them from eating everything. So other than that, just so everybody also knows, we have a school video update for you today. So please enjoy. Hello, St. Mark's. It's that time once again where we inform you all about the happenings of our school. So let's take a look. On October 28th, we held our first school assembly of the year, where the Safari Encounter Group came and shared some pretty amazing animals with our students and parents. We also enjoyed having so many parents stay and have lunch with us after the event. Later that night, we also held our annual community trunk or treat event in our church and school's parking lot. This year, we had over 400 guests come onto our campus for a safe environment to dress up in their costumes and go trick-or-treating. A great time was had by all, and there were some pretty amazing trunks that were decorated. Throughout the school year, our students have enjoyed many field trips. We are blessed to have these learning opportunities back since they have been postponed due to COVID in recent years. We have many more field trips planned throughout the school year and are eager to get out in our community and learn through these unique experiences. Our 4th through 8th grade B team basketball teams have just wrapped up their seasons. We are blessed to have our students grow in their basketball skills and fight through some perseverance. We thank Coach Castagnola and Coach Williams for their time and dedication during the season. On Wednesday, November 16th, we crowned our Spelling Bee champion. 7th grader Angie won the competition and is actually our 2-time reigning champion. Due to illnesses on our campus, the annual fall formal father-daughter and mother-son dance was postponed. We are looking forward to still having this great event, which we will now call the winter formal this year, that will now take place on March 11th. Christmas has been in full swing around here on our campus. We have decorated with Christmas trees, Christmas lights, and also painted our annual Christmas mural on the gym windows. Our students have worked very hard to prepare for our annual Christmas service, and they are eagerly awaiting their classroom Christmas parties. These parties will take place on December 21st in the morning, and the students will be dismissed at 12 p.m. for Christmas break. School resumes on Wednesday, January 4th. Once we return from Christmas break, we will be very busy with many events on our campus. The St. Mark's Youth Basketball League will be starting on January 7th and will run for 5 weeks. This kindergarten through second grade basketball league is a great opportunity for us to serve our community. We have over 100 student athletes and many volunteers helping to make this all possible. Speaking of basketball, our 7th and 8th grade co-ed basketball team will begin their season when they get back from break. Mr. Wall will be communicating with families about the schedule of practices and games in the near future. Our second quarter will come to a close on January 13th, and there will be no school on January 16th as we observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Our third quarter will begin on January 17th, and report cards will be sent home on that same day. January 23rd through the 27th, we will be having School Spirit Week, all leading up to our Geography Bee that will take place on January 27th. We have so many other events coming up in the near future, such as a school recruitment workshop, hosting the NorCal Teachers Conference on our campus, and even remodeling the bathrooms in our junior K and kindergarten classroom that are very outdated. All of this is able to be done through the grace of God and the hard work of many individuals that continue to support the ministry here at St. Mark's. We are thankful for each and every one of you, especially during this holiday season. That's all I have for you today, St. Mark's. God's blessings to you and your family this holiday season as you celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, His mercies are new every morning, and Merry Christmas.